Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to High Velocity Radio, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here in the studio with you. And I want to remind you that today's episode is brought to you in part by Safe America CEO Network. Join an elite network of C-level executives dedicated to helping protect America. For more information, go to safeamerica.org/CEO-network. We just visited with those folks yesterday, Lee.
That was right.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, we were over at Safe America's Veterans Assistance Center at the Atlanta Medical Center downtown off Boulevard and Freedom Parkway. But they have a great kind of facility there for veterans that it's a place where they can office. It's kind of a co-working space for veterans where they can go and office and use computers and stuff and get the resume, get coaching on getting their resume out so they can get jobs.
And once we found the place, I found it to be a very rewarding experience. It took us a little while to find, it's Building C,
it's
right?
340 Boulevard is the address, but there's a difference between Northeast and Southeast for anybody downtown, and they're about 5 minutes apart.
But we got some interesting things cooking with the Safe America Foundation. We're going to look at doing a series pretty soon with our buddy out there, Lynn Pagano, who incidentally is a broadcasting personality from days gone by, or is he still doing stuff?
Days gone by, and we'll be soon doing stuff here.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. So a little bit later in today's program, I am delighted to tell you that we have Kunbi back in the studio with Urban Geeks, and we're going to get caught up on what's going on there with the Urban Geeks organization, but we have a bit of an announcement that we're very excited to share. I'll save the suspense for that and let Kunbi tell our listeners all about it. But first up on High Velocity Radio this afternoon, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the chief cook and bottle washer, the chief mohawk, the grand poobah of Super Jenny. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Miss Jenny Levison.
Good afternoon.
Jenny, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Do you have soup every day?
Do I personally?
Yes. Like, what's your soup regimen?
If I'm going to be honest with you, I don't have my own soup every day. Of course, I have to taste everything.
Right. So kind of you do.
But no. After this many years, I'm getting a little tired of soup.
Soup is one of my favorite foods.
If someone else makes it, I'm
You'll
all in.
Try it.
I'm just getting a little tired of my own cooking.
Really?
Yes.
Now, can you take us back to back in the day when this was an idea before it was a business?
Yes, I think, I've been in business for 17 years, so it was a while ago. But I think this idea was born from my love of travel. And so I had taken 2 years off of my life and traveled around the world back when the Olympics was here in Atlanta.
The Olympics were here, you said, I'm out of here.
I rented my apartment, which was fabulous. It sort of funded the start of it. And I traveled around the world for almost 2 years. And everywhere I went, I was determined to learn some recipes from
families.
So
you were in the culinary arts?
No, I was an actor.
That
was my beginnings. I was an actor, but I always sort of entertained and loved to cook on the side. Mm-hmm. And if you know, a lot of actors spend a lot of their time doing restaurant work on the side.
Right.
So I had done plenty of that. And then as I took this trip around the world, you know, that took over my passion. It replaced the theater, even though I still do that as well. And then I came back from this trip around the world, and the food that was most communal in every community I visited was soup. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got started.
So now the first iteration of Super Jenny was not restaurants though, right? You were selling soup to other people, or was there a restaurant?
No, it was a small restaurant, very tiny, with 8 seats in it. And yes, I just started in this little hole in the wall that it was off the beaten path, and all grassroots advertising and marketing. And it sort of grew from there.
So is that place still around?
We actually just moved from that place in Buckhead. We moved right around the corner to the Atlanta History Center. Mm-hmm. But up until about a month ago, it was.
And then so when you started it, what was your vision? Like a community place where everybody kind of knew each other, and this was like a homey place?
Yes, absolutely. It was like the Cheers of Soup World.
Is that what you were
thinking? Yes. Well, and I also, everyone that I hired was an actor, because I was an actor at the time. So actors are great people to have as your front counter people, because they're always in a good mood.
Right?
Lots of personality, and they can certainly deal with people when they're grouchy. And So that's, it was just me and a couple of friends in the beginning. And we sort of did everything from, you know, get the food on in the beginning of the day to mopping and taking out the trash at night. So it's come a long way since then.
Now, how did the business part of this go? Because like conceptually, like the cooking part or the recipes, mm-hmm. that seemed like the fun part, but there's yes. some of the boring drudgery business and admin stuff. And
yes, well, it's not boring if you don't know what you're doing. So, which I didn't.
So you weren't worried about
No, I didn't really know that I wasn't doing things correctly. I really learned by doing, and I had no prior business experience, so I really was going.
So that's your tip for aspiring business people.
Just go boldly forward. It doesn't even matter, you know, what you're doing.
Rent some space, get some pots and pans.
If you have a dream, you should just find a way to make it happen. That's my tip for the day.
But there aren't there a lot of regulations and hoops that you have to jump through when you are starting up a restaurant? Regulations that you don't have to do to get a studio started.
Exactly. Well, of course. And you have to go through the health department and the business, but yeah. they sort of guide you really to what has to be done and what's going to keep the community safe from your hazardous cooking. So, I mean, I knew, I learned, but there's also a lot of guidance to help you when you're starting out.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you have any restaurateur kind of put you under their wing to help you?
Yes. And it's still probably one of my favorite restaurants. My mentor is Tom Murphy from Murphy's mm-hmm. in Virginia Highlands, if you're mm-hmm. familiar with that. So I met him early on, and he was just very enthusiastic about, you know, what my interests were. And he sort of guided me over the last almost 20 years.
Now, when you were doing this, and at first it was mainly soup or only soup?
Well, that my vision, of course, was, you know, I was only going to be open in the winter months, and then I was going to travel the rest of the year. Yes, and only cook soup. And so after, of course, you know, when you get into it, I realized, you know, that wasn't going to be sustainable, and mm-hmm. I did need to be open year round, and I did maybe need to offer more options besides just soup. So it expanded to the sandwiches and salads from there. But really, I mean, the focus is on the homemade soups.
And then is there a main soup, or is there like a menu that changes constantly?
The menu changes every day according to what's fresh in the market, but we definitely uh-huh. always have my dad's turkey chili, which mm-hmm. was my very first recipe that my father, who's 89 and going strong.
That's what I had. I mentioned to you before we went on air.
Yes.
That my wife and I had been down, and I had the turkey chili. I don't remember what she had, but I do remember that she thoroughly enjoyed it. Kunbi, are you a soup person?
I do, actually. I love soups. Yeah, definitely yeah. in wintertime, soups are great.
What are some British soups?
Well, actually, yeah. I would say my favorite soup is tomato soup. I really like tomato soup.
She only has tomato.
Is anything like tomato?
I have tomato, not tomato.
Tomato.
Actually, I like the way she says it better.
Yeah, really. It might sell more.
You could charge a dollar more.
You charge a dollar more.
Right.
That's great.
We have lots of tomato soup.
Do you? Is that a core soup?
Super popular. You know, it's not every day, but there's so many versions of a tomato mm-hmm. soup, obviously. So, you know, we have hundreds of recipes by now that we go through.
So now, are they all original, or are you kind of yes. steal, beg, borrow, and steal?
Well, I think everything is stolen in some sense, but it's definitely they're all my original mm-hmm. creations from the beginning. And then now that we've expanded, we have 4 stores, so we have different cooks, and they can put their spin on what they'd like.
So early on, you mentioned your friends in the acting profession, and one of the things is they provided that nice that enthusiastic atmosphere and their customer service oriented and all that kind of thing. But now, as you're recruiting, selecting, developing people, do you have kind of a type of person or a process that you use that might help other entrepreneurs out there as they're staffing mm-hmm. up?
Well, I think staffing is obviously the number one problem in any growing yeah. business or in any business that requires people. And I'm just ultra picky. People get desperate and they just need a body, and they'll start hiring anyone. But I'm very ultra picky. I hire everyone personally. They have
really?
To go through me. And
in all the stores?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I tried not doing that and having a general manager do it, but it just wasn't the caliber of people I was looking for. Now, of course, we also pay higher than your average restaurant job. So mm-hmm. I feel that, you know, I'm attracting maybe a slightly more educated person, but it also keeps them there for more years. We have very low turnover. So I would really just suggest that people, you can be pickier than you think you can be, and to really get to know someone and maybe ask them out of the box questions that might not be on your average application about, you know, what their goals are. And you know, that's what I try to do. And of course, you know, I'm still working in all the restaurants. So I believe in servant leadership and being there doing the jobs that they're willing to do as well.
Now, how do you fit the acting in? Where's the acting fit into this?
I have a rule that I only can do a play every couple of years now because I have a small child too, who's 12, but I've kept that going through the years. My first love is theater. So I just did a show a few months ago at Georgia Ensemble Theater in Roswell and loved it. So now I have another 2 years to go.
And the cooking show. You and Kunbi could get together on a cooking show. Right?
Absolutely.
Tomatoes that's, for today or something.
That's right.
That could be fun.
Now, when you're acting, is that, because that's kind of all-encompassing. There's a lot mm-hmm. of time you have to spend the theater practicing and things like that.
Absolutely.
How does that, you just fit it in? That's why you do
you
it every
couple of
years?
You just sort of cram it mm-hmm. in. But it's also, here in Georgia, a lot of the theaters, they rehearse it in the evening. Mm-hmm. So the only one suffering is my child, probably. But no, so I can still work during the day and rehearse at night and perform at night. And it's a short, you know, 8 or 12 week commitment.
Now, do you incorporate any theater in your restaurants? Like, are there open, you know? Poet
open
night.
Mic night. Open
well,
mic
we
night.
Used to do a cabaret every year at Valentine's Day, which was awesome. But a lot, you know, as we've grown over the years, it's harder to hire just actors because before I would just let people leave in the middle of a shift to go
right.
for an audition or do that.
Right?
And I understood, but as it obviously, as we became a little more professional and a little more serious, you know, I'd have to look for people that could, you know, actually work an entire shift. So we do. We now that we've moved to this beautiful space at the History Center, we're trying to come up with some evenings that we can incorporate our skills, those of us that are left there, the actors.
So this is probably a non-issue now that you've been on High Velocity Radio, but up until today, you got to get the word out in a, I would think, a pretty competitive environment. So do you have like a go-to promotional strategy? Do you engage professionals to help you get the word out? How do you go to market and attract the customer interest?
Well, for many, many years, it was really just me and any way I could send out a newsletter or get the word out. But now I try to engage everyone that works for us. We use social media, which is huge. Mm-hmm. That really promotes our business. We don't do any traditional advertising. And then I do have like a group of we call them our social media girls. So they'll take care of like all the stores and myself together and post about what's going on, different unusual things. But really, it's still that old grassroots marketing of providing a good product and hoping people get the word out for you.
Now, can you talk about this mission of trying to help the hungry?
Yes. What I want to do. That's right. Sort of my next goal. We've done a lot of philanthropy through the restaurants, but I'm really wanting to come up with a way like that sort of Tom's model
right.
of that for every bowl of soup we sell, we're going to feed a hungry soul. So that's sort of something we're working on and we're not quite ready to roll that out yet, but I'm...
So that's how you picture it is every
yes.
bowl of soup you sell will be a meal or a
will
bowl
be a
soup
meal
for, some...
meal for someone in need, but we're trying to figure out if it's best if we're going to keep it local. Mm-hmm. Or if we want to do something larger than that. So we'll probably start with something on the local scale. But I just want it to be something that's really that you can see where it's going and that we know where
you can see the impact.
That you can see right. the impact in front of you.
Well, I got to tell you that I personally find that very attractive. Mm-hmm. I can tell you both of my girls, one's grown in up in Virginia and all that, but one's home from college. I know that she would be all like that group of kids. They would Uber down
exactly.
to, you know, down to your restaurant and probably go have some liquid refreshment too. But they would make a point of going and eating at your place, regardless of what else was on the agenda, if it was tied to some sort of effort like that.
Right.
I just know they would. And I can see myself buying bowls that I might not even consume, but, you know, buy bowls for an office or something, you know, and then knowing that another 10 bowls are going to the, I mean, that's very attractive. I know it would be to lead too.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I think
so
it's a,
you're just figuring that out?
Yes. I mean, I think it's a great model. I've done a lot of research about how it can work, but I just want to make it sure that it can be, we can be effective. I don't want to just put it out there and
you
not
want to do
have
it
a
right.
backup. Yeah, exactly. So it's close. We're close.
So you're thinking of partnering with some organizations?
We want to partner with an organization here in Atlanta to start with. So yes, that's what we're looking for right now.
And then regarding your staff as it's grown over the years, how do you keep them engaged and keep them on point in the mission? I know you mentioned that you yourself interviews everybody, but how do you keep them, you know, kind of telling the right story?
I think that's a lot of my job now, since I'm, you know, not in the every kitchen every day, obviously. And my job is become like fun ambassador. And I spend most of my time going around talking about what's coming up, how they're impacting people, because we get tons of emails and people talking about the service and, you know, what their experience has been in the restaurant. And I think on a daily basis, try to communicate that to them about how they have the ability to turn around someone's day. And it's a service job, but it's actually a bigger job than that. So that's
how do you get your employees to kind of be proactive and come up with good ideas and that you can kind of share back to the whole organization that might work system-wide?
Well, I think that goes back to the hiring and finding people that actually want to be part of something bigger than just slinging a bowl of soup over a counter. So that's a big part of it. But, you know, I also like to reward people and I like to do unusual things. And we've done everything. We've traveled together. You know, we've put out all kinds of things for the staff for us all to do as a group, and, you know, including the philanthropic things we've done in the past. So it seems to keep them engaged. It's a younger group than it used to be working there.
Everybody's getting younger. The firemen, the policemen. No, it's a very interesting topic. And in case you're not seeing through it, Lee is not just asking general questions. He's trying to get free consulting from you.
That's where I learned.
No, it is where we learn. And Lee and I, we enjoy spending some time in the studio, but we're also continuing to grow this network. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, tomorrow we're going to go visit the folks in Chattanooga, which is part of a group that also runs a studio in St. Louis and is launching Huntsville and Birmingham. So, you know, we don't want to be like that old cliche, you know, we're from corporate and we're here to help. You know, we're going to come in and what is the best way to genuinely serve them, let them grow into their own, but still provide some value? That, I mean, you, it sounds like you put a lot of thought and a great deal of intention toward how you're going to interact with them and how you're going to support those folks.
Right. Well, and I mean, just as an example, I mean, most of the people that do work for me that are not in management are younger or much younger. They're the millennials. And so, yes, we'll all do something fun that's going to engage them and then try to get some information in on the side. you know, I just had a big party for them and invited everyone to bring their dog.
Oh,
because
nice.
I know everyone has a dog. So, and then we had some kind of educational piece as well, but it wasn't shoved down their throat. So
like, what was the educational piece?
I wanted to talk about, you know, something that's coming up, a pastured poultry reek or something like that we're going to be promoting of locally raised poultry. And so we had this party, but at the same time, you know, we sat around and talked about why that's important.
Right.
Just, you know, what do they think about caring about where their food comes from? And it just in a very casual setting. Also with beer and wine. That helps.
That helps.
Anywhere.
That's the lubrication.
Right. Any food trends that you're seeing?
You know, I think I'm convinced that people just are getting more involved in where their food comes from and being healthier and realizing that food is our medicine. And, you know, I like to eat junk like the next person, but just how you really can change your life by, you know, changing your diet a little bit.
Well, before we wrap, I want to make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you or whomever is appropriate to have a substantive conversation around any of the things that you might be doing. But I want to make sure they know where the restaurants are. But before that, just I want to let you know, anytime you want to come back and just get us caught up on what you're doing, we'd love to hear from you. But I'm particularly interested in, and I know Lee is as well, as you get this Tom's-like effort off the ground, if there's anything we can do to help you get the word out.
Thank you.
Let us know. We'd like very much to be a part of that. I think I speak for both of us, yeah, Lee?
Absolutely.
He's like, no.
What are you talking about?
I forgot that. Catering? Do any catering?
Absolutely. All the time.
All right. So we do need to let our listeners know how to make a call and get information on that. And then let's, you know, where the restaurants are. What's the best way to reach out?
The best way is to email me personally, and it's superjenny@ AOL, my very old school address.
Wow, AOL.
I'm not giving it up. Don't make fun of me.
But I love that. The best way is to reach out to you personally.
Yeah, I still try to take every order and call, and I can ferry it out from there, but at least I've touched.
All right, so that's for the catering. And then locations?
We have a location in Buckhead that we just moved to the Atlanta History Center.
Uh-huh.
We have one in Decatur right next to the old courthouse. We have one in Brookhaven next to town Brookhaven, and one on the west side on Huff Road.
I think we owe it to ourselves to visit each one and properly assess.
Are you still, can you get your soup in other establishments, or now you can only get it through you?
Now you can only get it through there.
Oh, let's set up a Super Ginny fridge here.
Well, there used to be, right?
You used to be like the studio sponsor.
A little in that, in
When I very first started, right. Before I even had the restaurants,
We're going to talk when we go get off air about a Super Ginny fridge over here.
I'll deliver it personally.
I like it. Well, it has been an absolute delight learning story and hearing about this. And the offer is quite sincere. Let's collaborate. Let us help you when you get ready to do that. Hey, listen, you going to hang out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Absolutely.
All right. Next up on the High Velocity Radio show today, please join me in welcoming back to the microphone our good friend Kunbi. You haven't heard me mention her last name because I don't know how to pronounce it, even though I've known this lady for like some time now. Kunbi, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you so much.
So we're going to hear your news in just a moment. I want to dive into that. But first, get us caught up on Urban Geek's mission, purpose. What's going on out there?
Okay, well, just to summarize for listeners that maybe don't know about Urban Geeks. Urban Geeks is an African-American Latino multicultural website focused on business, science, and technology.
That is you've answered this question before.
It sounds like you practiced that.
That's my mission statement, my pitch.
That was really good. And we recorded it for you, so go ahead.
Yeah, so I mean, so essentially, I started the site in February 2015. And really, I set up the site because I felt that there was a really big gap in the market. You know, at the time, I was the Southeast correspondent for NBC's African-American website, thegrio.com. So it was actually quite a high-profile platform. Mm-hmm. And in those 4 years working for, you know, one of the leading minority websites, I wrote very, very few stories about technology, entrepreneurship, and business. So I just knew from working there that, you know, the leading minority websites were not really covering
that
certain issues.
And you were doing that here in Atlanta?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then so you were seeing they were involved in all those things, but they weren't getting any kind of attention.
Yeah, I was based in Atlanta, the Southeast correspondent. The head office was obviously at NBC Rockefeller Center. And I used to sort of do daily conference calls. So I just knew that there was, minorities, women were actually doing things, but we were just not covering it.
Right. The stories weren't being told.
The stories were not being told.
They were happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so obviously, I was, working on a very big platform. So I was familiar with what the other brands were doing. I won't say too many names, but some of the other sort of leading players. And we were just not covering technology, science, innovation, business.
And that kind of birthed Urban Geeks.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And then so when you started out, you said, I'm going to be the one that tells those stories.
I really did. This is a very, I would say, sort of passion-driven, purpose-driven platform. I just felt there wasn't, no one was really telling these stories, and I felt that there had to be someone to do it.
Right. So and I just suited than you?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's how it started.
That's how it started.
And then recently you had some big news, right, with your partnership with the Atlanta Tech Village.
Yeah.
You had a contest, right? And there was a winner recently.
So Urban Geeks, the Urban Geeks team is based at Atlanta Tech Village. I'm sure you're all aware of the biggest tech incubator in the Southeast. So we're based there. That's actually where our offices are. So I had a conversation with a management team and I said, why don't we do a competition, and exclusively for women of any demographic and minorities, predominantly African-American, Latino, basically a competition, sort of like a pitch competition.
Right.
I sort of devised the questions and they had to sort of send in a 60 second pitch. So put this competition together and the winner would get a free spot at Tech Village for 6 months.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Which is highly sought after.
Highly sought after.
Yeah. Like on a waiting list situation
A waiting list. I mean, Tech Village is the place to be.
An Octane Coffee is there.
But there's no soup. If only there was soup.
Yeah, really. So we got to get Jenny involved. So Lee, if only we could take that silken British accent and have it here on the air on a more regular rhythm? Could it happen?
We can dream.
Can that dream,
we can dream.
Come true? I think maybe so, right, Kumi?
I think it can do.
Let the cat out of the bag.
So obviously, this is our major announcement today. And I'm thrilled, basically, that, Urban Geeks are coming on board to work with yourselves to basically put together a new, brand new, innovative show called Minority Business Report. And really, more than anything, to actually complement the work that you're doing. And really, what the show will be, it will be long-form interviews with, you know, entrepreneurs and right. leading. And
with a professional host this time around. This is not Lee and Stone, you know, killing time in the afternoon, right?
Yeah, so innovative entrepreneurs and successful minority leaders. And I sort of want to say that, you know, minority in a very broad sense. So we're not just talking about African Americans. We're talking about Latino. We're talking about women of any demographic. We're talking about LGB community.
Right.
And anyone really that is, interested in those, in diverse issues.
And then you've been kind of socializing this to your community, and how's the response been?
Yeah, I mean, you know, people are excited. I mean, I'm you know, at the moment I'm just talking to people about it. And people are excited because I always think that, you know, I like to see myself as being an innovator. I really do. And I know that Urban Geeks was very innovative, very disruptive, and just completely unique because no one had thought about that before. So I think this would just be a phenomenal opportunity.
It should dovetail nicely with that mission.
Yeah, absolutely. It's totally, it totally suits our brand as well. So very excited about that.
So first episode is later this month, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the 27th, maybe?
Yeah, 27th. On Friday. Yeah, 27th. First episode is May the 27th. I've got a couple of people up my belt.
Yes.
You know, a couple of people that I've already spoken to who are, you know, going to come, and I don't want to sort of reveal too much now. So yeah, first episode kicks off then, and we're just going to take it from there and see how it goes.
And then the stories that are going to be told are not necessarily technology. It's just the minority business.
Yeah,
people.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously my brand, Urban Geeks, is very much focused on tech entrepreneurs. And actually I say it's focused on tech entrepreneurs, but we do cover business, any type of business. So yes, it's not just going to be tech entrepreneurs. And
so maybe Jenny knows some minority restaurateurs that might
like
be
myself, single mother minority.
Women, right. So look.
Oh yes, absolutely. I know tons of people.
Yeah. So it's not, you know, we're not just going to be talking to app developers and, you know, coders. I mean, it's going to be a lot broader than that. We will be talking to, you know.
And it'll be an interesting conversation in a roundtable environment like this, where everybody can share kind of the good, the bad, the ugly of what they're going through, and everybody can help each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, more than anything, it's just to really get a real kind of diverse range of voices on air talking, you know, maybe some types of groups that may not have this type of platform, just to really talk about the work that they do,
right?
Whether it's in entrepreneurship or even in corporate America,
right?
And the guests that appear, in addition to receiving the coveted Business Radio X chalice that you can only get as a guest on air, I'm thinking seriously, we should maybe fill the chalice with soup.
We're trying to work the soup.
You're going
to
bring it into every angle.
We're
trying. I appreciate it.
We just have to design, get one of your tech friends to design a lid.
High tech lid.
Commuter mug.
Speaking for Lee and I and the entire network, we're just as excited as we can be to have you part of the family. Really looking forward to that. And all kidding aside, we would like very much to bring some sponsors into the family that want to serve that ecosystem. And we're going to make it real easy and real fun and real lucrative to be associated with that show. So if anybody's interested in having a conversation about sponsoring a series, an episode, or the entire show, please sit down with me or Kumi, and let's have a conversation about that. But it's a group of people that we desperately want to serve and deserve the recognition that we intend to give them, because they're out there doing such fantastic work for the market, for the community, for their profession, and we need to let people know about it, don't we?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the one thing, talking about sponsorship, I will say is that obviously, you know, Business Radio X is a phenomenal platform, but obviously Urban Geeks is an emerging brand.
Yeah.
And we will cross-promote everything that happens in these studios will be heavily cross-promoted on Urban Geeks as well. So that's another
thing
for people to think about.
More bang for your buck.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I cannot wait, but we're going to have to because it's time just to wrap this one up.
We're only a few days away. What is it, the 27th?
It's the 27th. But before we do leave, let's make sure the folks know how to get in touch with you at Urban Geeks and or just they want to have a conversation about this new show we're launching.
Absolutely. The best way to get hold of me is via email. Easiest email is info@urbangeeks, and that's geeks with a Z. .com.
How else would you spell it?
Nicely done, gang. All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our guest this afternoon, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.